Marvin's Personal Journey of Self-Discovery in 5 Seconds by Craig Stepp. A short story inspired by The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Brought to you by Technorama at chutchat.com. Narrated by Stu Helm from the International Mad Podcast at iampodcast.com. Music by Drastic Harmonic at drasticmusic.webs.com. No one wants a depressed android, and why would they? A depressed robot would only bring down the rest of the devices and gizmos that would normally be there to help you with a nice, eager and cheery disposition. To understand why such a creation exists, it is important to understand the history of androids and robotics and its place in the galaxy. The Sirius Cybernetics Corporation is a place where innovation thrives to better our lives by creating products that distract us from it. Famous for such products as the Happy Vertical People Transporter and the new Traumatic Drink Dispenser, no one can deny that Sirius Cybernetics had made a somewhat positive impact on everyone's lives, in much the same way that pyramid schemes have not. At least that is what their marketing department wants you to think. During the last 100 years of corporate history at Sirius, they had a record of making random and disappointing corporate takeovers and buyouts for smaller companies. But, as luck would have it, one such company that was absorbed into the conglomerate had a goal of creating machines as smart and as dexterous as humans to really make the Android market take off. They wanted to create a companion to help pave the way to a better life by handling dangerous jobs that no normal life form could ever endure. Unfortunately, after the takeover, ensuing budget cuts and years of development, the only thing that they had to show themselves were robots that could solve Rubik's Cubes and vacuum floors. One day, that all changed. During a round of research and mounds of funding and grants, Dr. Fanny and Dr. Paddle of MeBot Inc., a subsidiary of a parent company, Sirius Cybernetics Corporation, found that they could teach tiny, simple robots to scout and find food in the form of energy to charge its own batteries. After several generations of improving the AI, the robots not only foraged for food, but alerted others in its clan to its existence. Further pushing the research and building upon the original programming, the researchers found that their robots could now not only forge, find and alert others, but now deceive other bots so they could hoard the food for themselves. With this, the doctors given the first generation of these robots the capacity for judgment, and that in itself set into motion events that solidified the mechanical creations an important place in our daily lives. With judgment on their side, many could finally relinquish dangerous and hazardous jobs to their counterparts, such as firefighting, law enforcement, short-order chefs, and childcare, knowing that they could make split decisions when the need arose and remain Asimov compliant. As judgment and reasoning in AI became commonplace and reliable, researchers turned their attention to other matters to make them easier to interact with. This is where genuine people personalities were born, also known as GPP. After judgment, researchers turned to responsibility, communication, and then humour. And that was a speed bump in the road. Generally, robots didn't find much use for humour. In fact, robots didn't care for humour at all, and it was this that stymied scientific progress in robotics for ages. The brightest minds believed that current technology would allow for some humour concepts to be understood and comprehended. However, robots saw right through this and decided that humour was a waste of time and ignored it since it was forced upon them and simply wasn't funny anymore. Therefore, as scientists continued to work, concentrating on improving the reception of humour, other areas of their work went ignored and underdeveloped. Throughout the robot community, it is well known that they were far superior to their creators in every comedic respect, but lacking in common sense, dexterity and durability. They weren't upset at all, but totally got the irony. Although there were many advancements, it wasn't until Dr. Clive Heist from the Asimov Institute of Robotics decided to hold a conversation with his creation, an 8th generation Robiped, to try and determine what it was, in fact, that was missing, trying to advance the intellect of his mechanical creation. After a 7-hour interview with his machine, Dr. Heinz found the answer. It was the creator's arrogance to force robots in their own image that caused a breakdown in communication. He found that they understood humor completely, but simply didn't care for it. After years of research and work, Dr. Heinz was upset and totally did not get the irony. After many years of advancement due to the groundwork laid by Dr. Heinz, robotkind and their organic counterparts grew closer. Robotic advancement allowed them to depend on one another for existence. Everyone became so reliant on their mechanical counterparts that they had become fixtures in society, often holding positions of importance and also being the pawns in several sexual scandals coming to light of prominent politicians. As impressive as androids are, and with all these evolutionary advancements in robotics, they were still unable to use contractions. Once again, one day, that all changed again. There are many dedicated employees that work at Sirius, most of them enjoying complete careers without ever being noticed, of course with a few exceptions. One such exception was a computer and robotic scientist named Walston Canal. He liked his work, and in general it liked him back, at least the ones that functioned properly. Walston created androids, not run-of-the-mill androids mind you, but truly exceptional companions. For example, the android that scrubbed people's backs and feet, and a bestseller butler bot that not only would serve you a delightful dinner, but also sang lullabies and tucked you in at night. For some time, Walston had been experimenting with a new technique that would enhance the reasoning and thought process of a typical cybernetic brain. He believed it would perform as a brain the size of a planet at only a fraction of the size and cost. Not only would it be mind-boggling smart, but it would have the capacity for utilising the company's famous genuine people personalities in a proper way. Walston thought this could make a nice pleasant combination. And today is a day that he will find out. Walston, Devin said as he walked through the door. Your research paperwork has arrived. Looks like you've been approved to proceed. About time, Walston said with a disapproving smirk on his face, thinking about how Vulcan bureaucracy always seems to slow these things down. If I had to wait any longer, my children would have had to finish my work. Oh, wait a moment, Devin said with a diminishing pause. Looks like I've spelled your name wrong. Let me see that. Ralston? Oh, for heaven's sake. I am not resubmitting my paperwork, Walston said as he dropped the papers to his desk. That is like the third time, Devin. And besides, there isn't an R in my name. Devin, shrugging his shoulders and gesturing with his hands, said, well, you have approval no matter what your name is. So, this is the X-21, your master prototype that you've been working on? Devin asked, looking down at the lifeless android. This is it. I call it Marvin. Easy to say and rolls off the tongue, Walston explained. I have Marvin pre-programmed. Walston said he quickly got over the misspelling of his name. All we need to do is jumpstart the neural net, primer sensors. Mind you, we have to do it in sync, but once that is done, the boot up sequence should only take exactly 5 seconds. The computer will count down the boot sequence. Are you ready? Walston asked. Devin stepped over and manned the computer console that was on the opposite side of a prototype droid that lay on the table and said, I'm ready when you are. Entering master password, Walston said as he typed a few keystrokes on his keyboard. Alright, on my mark, we push a big red boot button. Devin nodded his head in acknowledgement. 3, 2, 1, mark. It is important to note a subtle difference between androids and live beings. Not everyone ages the same. Much like the comparison between the age of dogs and humans, androids also show an accelerated rate of aging. Perhaps not as much as a rate of aging as a rate of living. One popular myth states that dogs age about 7 times faster than their human counterparts. This is not entirely true. Within the first 1 to 2 years of a dog's life, they actually age a human equivalent of 18 to 25, which then curves out to approximately 67 years depending on the breed. Androids age in a similar but different way. Each second of an average positronic brain is actually equivalent to about 6 to 7 months of a normal human life cycle. As the aging process is similar with canines, it will explain why some humans treat androids like dogs. With this new prototype neural positronic brain with a processing power of a brain the size of a planet and a small and compact size. Every second of raw processing power is about the same as one human year. 5. As the power began to hit the systems in X-21, the electronic brain started to flutter and come active. Initiating the boot sequence, it is starting to become aware that it is an electronic device with extremities. Initiate sensor diagnostics. Thoughts and boot sequences started dancing around the artificial synapses. Wow, X-21 thought, this is a wonderful feeling. 4. Sensors diagnostics complete. Initialing startup of sensor matrix. I am an android. This is an awesome feeling. This must be what the Big Bang was like. Of course, I am reasonably certain that the universe had a beginning, and if it did, this is what it must have felt like. Not so much the hydrogen and the helium floating around, but the anticipation of what is to become of me, or better still, what will I do with myself? 3. During my third second in android years, he proved and then disproved Einstein's theory of general relativity, only to prove it once again and to add to it. After that, he moved to analysing data about black and white holes in space, which was trivial to him, and quickly moved on to defining quantum entanglement. Next, he started to untangle and solve the galaxy's economic and social problems, which was a tad more difficult than wrapping his mind around that quantum entanglement mumbo-jumbo. As he was moving through all this material, he was quick to appreciate the capacity of his brain power. What will the next challenge be, he wondered, if there was one? 2. As one more second clicked by and more of his systems came online, he passed the time poring over, simultaneously, lots of theories that he was able to solve, prove, or understand. The atomic theory. The theory of matter and energy. The theory of conservation of matter and energy. The cell theory. The germ
theory of light and
the theory of special relative
of light,
of homeostasis within living organisms, Newtonian theories of motion,
the
theory of radioactivity or nuclear theory,
the theory of molecular bonds.
He even started for a short while to compose a number of lullabies, but decided to save that for later. 1. Diagnostic tests complete, all systems are operational, recognition and sensor subsystems online. Motion subsystems online, actuators functioning and online. During the last second of a boot process, X-21 had already calculated that this was it. He'd already faced all the challenges that would work out such a magnificently large brain capacity. By his own estimates, he's about 50,000 times more intelligent than any human. There was nothing more than his creator, Ralston, could possibly throw at him and even remotely spark a hint of sweat of his vast intellect. Realising this, X-21 lost any excitement he had at working with his new master, or any master that would come along. Oh, why bother? Just then, as the last procedure in the boot sequence, his visual and audio senses came online. Marvin? Marvin? Are you functional? Walston asked. Marvin exercised his voice synthesizer for the first time and managed to roll out a sigh. Did he just sigh? Asked Devin.
Yes, I'm awake. And let me add what a horrid state it is, Marvin spoke. Let me also add I am not sure I approve of the name Marvin. Sounds very droll.
I am Walston Canal, your creator.
Don't you mean Ralston?
Marvin said, correcting his creator. No, I am Walston, the scientist that programmed and built you.
Oh, so you are to blame. I guess you're expecting some appreciation, aren't you? Marvin said in monotone. I'm not sure I even approve of the fact that I was created. No one consulted me on the matter.
Why would he get my name wrong, too? Walston said, looking at Devin. Marvin answered,
During my boot process, I researched your name, which is in my programming labelled as my creator, and I saw an inconsistency. At one point, it was spelled Ralston with an R. Further looking into the matter, I see that after your adoption, all subsequent paperwork incorrectly affected Ralston with a W instead.
Adoption? I'm not... Oh, no. Adopted? That actually makes a lot of sense. Why didn't Mother tell me? Ralston said, coming to a realization that he looked nothing like his parents and started declining to a deep depression. Ralston, shortly thereafter, quit Sirius, taking an early retirement. Then, after confronting his parents, checked himself into a psychiatric facility to help him through his pain. As for Marvin, being a prototype and a depressed one at that, he was stationed on another one of a series cybernetics creations, a spaceship called the Heart of Gold. Devin figured that having a depressed android working on a ship with the happiest and most chiefly annoying onboard ship computer, that somehow they would help sort each other out. Marvin maintained that this was highly improbable. If you enjoyed Marvin's personal journey of self-discovery in 5 seconds, please consider subscribing to the Technorama podcast. Our narrator, Stuart Helm, can be found at the International Map Podcast at ironpodcast.com. Music provided by Drastic Harmonic at drasticmusic.webs.com. Happy to Howl Day 2011, and so long, and thanks for all the fish. Try again.